When I started the show 13 years ago, it was just me wearing all the hats. But as it's grown, so has the team to support it. And I'm super grateful to Adam for his editing skills, for Ava, who produces the video versions that you see on YouTube, to Sheila, who does the detailed write-ups for the Side Hustle Nation website, and to Teresa, who uploads everything to all the different podcast apps. When you're a small business, the right hire can be make or break. And that's why when you need to get it right, I think this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. Spend less time searching and more time actually interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, and more results. When you need the right person to cut through the chaos, this is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. Side Hustle Show listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying, and you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? This is a job for Indeed sponsored jobs. This is 0 to 20 grand a month with the Amazon Influencer Program. I've said it before, I'll say it again. The easiest money I've ever made online was part of the Amazon Influencer Program. Upload a short product review video, and if that helps convince someone to buy the product, Amazon gives you a little commission. Now, that program has changed quite a bit since we first started covering it, but my guest is proving in a big way there's still plenty of juice left to squeeze. From Hustle Buddies, Nate Jackson. Welcome back to the Side Hustle Show.
All right. Thanks, Nick. Yeah, thanks for having me back. It's been a while since our last session.
It's been 360-something episodes, absolutely. So in this one, we're talking Nate's product selection and production strategy, tons of creative ways he finds stuff to make videos about. That was kind of the bottleneck that I ran into. And how you can get started to stack some extra income of your own. Now, Nate, you were kind of late, quote unquote, late to the game with the influencer program. You were focused on the e-com side, the FBA stuff. And so people said, look, influencer program, it's too late. It's too saturated. It's too competitive. But you were kind of like, let me see for myself. What do I have to lose here?
Yeah, if there's anything that like the Amazon selling space taught me, it's to stop listening to what people say about the space that you're in. Just try things out for yourself and just kind of dive in and do it. Do I wish I would have started this 4 or 5 years ago when it was just insanely easy and everybody was making fistfuls of cash? Yeah, I do. But yeah. I don't have a time machine. Can I start now? Yeah, I can. And is it still working very, very well now? Yeah. And is it highly saturated? I actually strongly disagree with that point. As someone who's coming from the Amazon seller space, I'm used to there being hundreds of thousands of people who are doing what I'm doing. I'm used to walking into a Walmart and seeing somebody purchasing the products that I wanted to flip from that same Walmart onto Amazon. With AIP, I'll use you as an example. I don't view you as a competitor. Even though you are technically an Amazon influencer, you're not like actively in the trenches. You're not competing with me on brand new products, things like that.
No, it's been 20 months since I've uploaded a video.
Exactly. So yes, there are a lot of accounts, but how many people are actively in the trenches doing this? And then among those people, how many are actively doing this to like a high level? How many are putting in potentially full-time effort into this sort of business? And I don't think that there's very many people. I would estimate there's less than 1,000 people who are working full-time as on-site Amazon influencers. Could I be wrong? I could be, but that's just kind of my guesstimates.
And you think about the breadth of products, the millions of products that they have available for sale, you know, the market size is huge.
Yeah.
And so to give an overview of the program, and correct me if this has changed, where you would upload a video, and I'm looking, maybe it's the ring light or the little stand or the standing desk itself, and take a quick, you know, 1 to 2 minute video. Here's what I like. Here's what I don't like. Here's who it's good for. Upload that, tag it as the product on Amazon. No outside marketing. Amazon shows that on the product page. Somebody's like, oh, I'm considering this standing desk. They watch your video. If they watch 50% or more or something, whatever the metric is, and then they buy the thing, Amazon gives you a few percent of that. Say, hey, thanks for helping us convert that customer. We'll give you a little bit as a reward. Is that still how it's working? Or what's changed?
That is exactly correct. Everything you said is true. It's kind of weird that they call it the Amazon Influencer Program, because there's also the Amazon Affiliate Program, which is more for like offsite people. So if you're a real influencer, if you're someone like Mr. Beast or Kim Kardashian, something like that, you would be better suited to the affiliate program because you have an actual offsite following. If you are not that person, if you're not an actual influencer, then the Amazon influencer program is probably the better choice for you. Because yeah, like if you and me and Mr. Beast all post a video to the same standing desk, we all have roughly equal shots at getting into the, sort of that video carousel area for customers to watch our video and click through and buy it.
Okay.
There's really no outside force that's going to be affecting one of us more than the other.
They do require, or did, some level of social following to get approved. So the program is by application only, I assume still is, but we've heard varying estimates of how big a following do I really need to get approved here? What have you seen?
It has nothing to do with followers. I have helped people with 3 followers get approved for this. Currently, it is nearly entirely engagement-based. So what I tell people, try whatever you've got. If you've got a public Facebook page, you've got a big YouTube, you've got even a small YouTube, you've got a Pinterest account, you've got a TikTok, whatever, try what you have. That's like step one. It's always worth trying. And if you get denied, there's no harm, no foul. You can apply infinite times in a day. There's zero downside to applying and being denied. Assuming that you get denied with whatever you have, the easiest by far path to get into the influencer program is to create a brand new TikTok. Go and follow a couple people in a specific niche that you want to post about. Let's say pets, for example. So you follow a couple people with pets, you like a couple videos about pets, you comment on a couple videos with pets, and then you start posting a couple times every single day for about the next 2 weeks about pet stuff. And all of your posts are going to be created to get engagement. So you want to basically be making questions like, oh, my pet has XYZ problem, what should I do? Or, oh, I just took my pet here, or I want to take my pet somewhere cool, where should we go? It should be formed as a question to generate comments, or it should be formed as rage bait also to generate comments. Oh, I'm going to get my cat declawed or whatever. Like, and people are going to go into the comment section and tell you how horrible of a person you are. And that's fine, because all we want to do is just get a bunch of comments. If you get a bunch of comments on TikTok, we've basically solved the equation. This is very easy. I think people vastly overestimate what it takes, especially because it's called the influencer program. And so people feel like they have to be an influencer to do it. You don't need to be an influencer to do it. You just make a new TikTok. And after about 2 weeks of posting questions and rage bait, you're probably going to get in.
Okay. Far easier to get approved than in contrast to the Facebook content monetization program.
Yes.
Where, you know, we've had people toiling away, creating daily content for months and months and still not getting approved. And on top of that, once you're in, I think it's got a much longer shelf life. Like I said, I haven't uploaded anything in 20 months, yet still get a little bit of passive income every month from those videos that I did years ago. You went all in on this. I mean, 10 months ago, from a new account to now 3,000 videos, which, I mean, we can break it down. I mean, that's 300 a month, that's 75 a week, that's 10-ish a day. I mean, building it in a systematic way, and I imagine there's some batching in there, but talk to me about where you started in your filming process, your product review process, and becoming such a prolific product reviewer.
Yeah, so we'll back this up, say 4 years ago, back when I was an Amazon seller and doing that prominently, and I had friends doing the influencer program that were telling me, Nate, you got to get signed up for this. It's really cool. And I would look at it and I would take some classes, things like that. And everything was telling me, okay, you got to choose the right product, do a bunch of product research. Then you got to make these really nice videos. It's got to be really in-depth and edit them well and all this stuff. And I just got into analysis paralysis where I felt like, okay, I need to do all these things, but all these things are really daunting, and so I'm just going to procrastinate and then eventually not do them and go back to my other side hustle. And so this time around, it's like, let me just flip that script. Let me turn off all the noise. Let me stop listening to what everyone says. Everybody online says to make quality videos, and you have to go like really in-depth and choose the right products. It's all about product research, blah, blah, blah. And that can work. I'm not saying that that doesn't work. That's just not the only way to make this work. And so I'm like, well, if everyone else is zigging, let me try to zag.
Perfect world, I want a product that's $100 or more, that's selling a ton, and has, you know, no existing videos about it, mm-hmm. right? And it's like trying to find those unicorns. But you might spend more time trying to find that unicorn than you would if you just went out and made 10 videos.
Mm-hmm. The interesting distinction is, how do you gain access to that product? Because if I am spending my own hard-earned money, if I've got $10 and I need to go buy a product, you better believe I'm doing some product research and I'm going to find something that is the most expensive thing that I can get for $10, that has the least amount of competition, that has the most amount of sales, that has creator connections, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
But that's only if I'm spending my own money. If it's something that's already in my house, let's say you have a microphone that you do podcasts for, or you have a monitor here, a computer screen, you have a camera over there, you've got a laptop, you have a mouse, okay? All of these things are currently in front of me. So I could spend 5 minutes of research to figure out, okay, is this mouse worth me doing a video for? Does it have a lot of influencer videos already on it? Is it expensive? Does it have creator connections? Is it selling a lot a month? Blah, 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 blah. Or I could spend that same 5 minutes simply making a video for this mouse and uploading it and doing zero research. In both of these scenarios, I spent 5 minutes of my time. But in one of those scenarios, I have a 100% chance of making $0 because I decided, yeah, I'm not going to make a video for that. In the other scenario, I have a more than 0% chance of making some money. It might not be a lot, but it's definitely, I'm not guaranteed to make nothing because you miss 100% of the shots that you never take. So I just take the shots.
So your argument is the volume approach of, I'm just going to put a ton of videos out there, and some of them are never going to see the light of day. Some of them never going to make any money, but almost by law of large numbers, some of them are going to hit, and there's an 80-20 to all of this.
Exactly. You have to spend your time somewhere. You either spend your time researching or you spend your time filming. And for me and my brain, what just made more sense, what felt more natural was just, let me just film a bunch of stuff. And eventually, again, just like what you said, just by the law of large numbers, I will have products that are very, very good products. And they will sort of pop off and do very well for me. It's not going to be every video, but I didn't spend the time researching. Instead, I just spent the time sort of like the shotgun approach. I will eventually hit the animal that I'm aiming for, and lots of things are going to miss, but that's okay because I'm just shooting off one shotgun shell and it's going to go off everywhere.
And maybe it's important to talk about the time that goes into filming each product too, because I am maybe a chronic overthinker. I'm like, well, how am I going to set up this shot for this YouTube video or this production? How's the sound quality going to be? What am I going to do here? You know, what else is in the frame? What I'm hearing is, don't overthink it. Just point the camera at the thing, do your voiceover, like talk through it, no external mic needed, and just roll the tape.
100%. Now, it's going to vary based on your style. If you're sort of that like laser sniper focused person where you're spending your own money on something and you're doing a bunch of research, okay, well, if you spent all that time on the research, then yeah, make yourself a nice, good, long video. If you're buying a new vacuum cleaner and you want to compare it to your old one, great. Think through this. Think through some cool shots. Record the nice long 8, 9, 10 minute long video and post that. And that's totally fine. But if you're just running and gunning, say around your house or your neighbor's house, whatever else, like you don't need to do all of that. You don't need to worry about your mic setup. My recording setup is this. I don't even have a microphone that I plug into it. I just point my camera. I hold the product like with this mouse. I keep the mouse close to my face. All right, guys, so we've got the mouse here today. I'm going to tell you I've had this for about 7 months, and here's what I like, a couple things I dislike. Let's dive into it. And I just go right through it, and you can sort of talk your way through just about anything doing that.
Okay, so you do put yourself on camera.
For, I would say, about 90% of my videos. It is not a requirement. You can do faceless. Generally, it's going to make you less money. There's just a little bit less of that trust factor.
Oh, interesting. Most of mine, it's like me pointing the camera at the thing. One of my best sellers, you know, I was checking the reports, was like this combo padlock thing we put on our back fence. And it's just, I don't know. It's like, it's me showing it on the fence, lock. But that's interesting. That's a good data point. Like, no, you'll build more trust if you put your face in the video.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, again, like it's not a requirement. If you have a padlock and you're trying to like show people how to do the lock, well, that's hard to do if you're holding the camera with one hand. So like,
yeah.
If you kind of think through it, it's like, oh, but Nate said I have to put my face. Like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I generally put it in when it makes sense. But if it doesn't make sense, then don't do it. Show the camera and show the padlock and do that stuff because no one cares about your face when you're talking about a $10 padlock.
Okay, fair. What kind of length are we talking about? What's a sweet spot that you found?
So most of my videos currently, as of today, are averaging about 2 to 3 minutes. Back when I was first starting, it was more like 1 minute. That like 45 to 85 second area was sort of what I would aim for. What we've found though recently is I mentioned earlier, there's sort of these this like video carousel. So if you guys go to any Amazon page, go to something popular, go to like a Tony box. If you've got kids, you know what I'm talking about with a Tony box. So go to something like that or go to your favorite book or whatever. And then up at the top by the pictures, you're going to see a little button for videos. That's going to pull up the video carousel. That's the upper carousel. Or if you scroll about halfway down the page, you'll see the lower carousel, which also has influencer videos. Who gets put in there is a little bit random, a little bit based on an Amazon algorithm, but the algorithm is always changing. And so what we try to do over time, and especially because I got a number of people I'm working with now that are also doing this, and we can kind of put together all of our data points, what are we seeing that seems to affect our placement more than others? And one of the biggest contributing factors was total watch time, which we found very interesting. So anything that we can do to increase that, if normally I would do like a 60 second video for a combination lock, maybe I'm going to try to push this to like maybe 90 seconds just to try to get a little bit extra watch time, because there's going to be a couple people who inevitably just watch the whole thing all the way through. You can see right here on this carousel, some of these are 50 seconds, 40 seconds, and then a couple of them, we see a minute and a half, almost 2 minutes. Oftentimes, the slightly longer retention helps. Not always. There is definitely lots of other little elements that get thrown in there, and Amazon's always changing this. Like just yesterday, they seemed to flip some sort of switch where it's like 100% randomized. You can't put too much effort into trying to game the system or whatever, but where I can put my effort in, I will try. So for me, that's been make my videos maybe 30 to 50% longer than I normally would, and that seemed to be working well for me.
Okay. That's interesting. They would time on site, similar to YouTube. Watch time is a huge factor for them. But given the sales focus at Amazon, I would figure whichever one converts the best is going to kind of work its way to the top of the algorithm.
Yeah. And I'm sure conversion rates also play a huge factor. We just don't have the data points. I can't compare. I see this Abigail person and D-Mank person. I have no idea how many they've sold. But what I do know is how long their video is. And on my back end, I can kind of somewhat see what sells. Amazon doesn't give us a whole lot of data, though. But I can see how long people are watching things for. So we've noticed some trends with longer watch times equaling better performance and better placements.
Okay. And a couple placements on the page. One at the very top, kind of in that image package, and then lower down on the page, product videos. So that's where you're going to show up without doing any outside marketing effort. Now, it looks like Abigail has shot this video in a vertical format. Is there an advantage to doing one over the other? Nate's response, plus more video production best practices coming up right after this. And if you're serious about getting started with the influencer program, make sure to grab the free quick start guide I put together by hitting the link in the episode description, and I'll send it right over.
Big parenting milestone for us this month. I finally set up investing accounts for the kids. It had been on the to-do list for a while, but it was a chance to talk about the power of compound interest and making money without working for it directly. I think what was most exciting for them was the concept of owning a small piece of a ton of different businesses, and that a lot of the traffic on the road is people going to work for those companies, doing their small part to make them a little bit richer. We also offered a very generous parental match to incentivize them to continue to fund their accounts. But this brings me to my favorite financial tool, Monarch. It's the easy-to-use financial dashboard to track your spending, savings, investments, and more, all in one place. I love the net worth tracker, and especially zooming out 6, 12, 24 months and seeing how much progress we've made. I want to invite you to write your own money story with Monarch. Use code SIDEHUSTLE at monarch.com to get your first year of Monarch Core half off at just $50. That's 50% off your first year at monarch.com with code SIDEHUSTLE. You know, when you're working for a company and payday just automatically happens every couple weeks? Simple, reliable, easy. But now flip it. You're the boss. It's your business and you need to pay yourself and your team. That's where our partner Gusto comes in. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all in one, remote friendly, and incredibly easy to use. So you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. I've been on an automation kick this year, so Gusto's automatic payroll tax filing is right up my alley. Plus, you can set up simple direct deposits, health benefits, 401ks, you name it. Gusto makes it easy and affordable. There's no hidden fees, no surprises, and it's no wonder why 500,000 small businesses already trust Gusto for their payroll and HR needs. I want to invite you to try Gusto today at gusto.com/sidehustle and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/sidehustle. One more time, it's Gusto, GUSTO.com/sidehustle.
Vertical will show better on mobile phones. Horizontal will show better on computers because we're on a computer right now and you see the big black bars on the side. I would rather see this horizontal as a computer shopper mostly. So there's not necessarily one that always wins. I would say if you have a product where it's more often purchased from mobile, then do vertical. So little kid toys like this, honestly, they do pretty well vertically because a lot of these are being purchased by the stay-at-home moms while they're chasing their kids around the house. And so they're not sitting down at their computer doing a bunch of research. They're on the fly on their phones. And so that tends to do better. Same with fashion. Fashion generally, we've seen performs a little bit better with the vertical videos. It's not like a huge performance difference, but generally speaking, if customers are purchasing more from their phones, I'll try to do a vertical. If I think that they're doing more from a computer, then I'll do it horizontal. Most of mine are horizontal.
Okay. Higher ticket, higher research, you know, maybe that's going to be justify a horizontal format. When I was doing it, it was only horizontal. Like that was the format they wanted.
Mm. And it's interesting. Amazon actually even tells us in their frequently asked questions and their best practice and all that stuff. They tell us, make multiple videos. Do you have a horizontal video? Go make a vertical video now. Do you have an unboxing video? Cool. Now do a 1 year update video. So they want multiple videos from the same creator on these listings.
On the same product.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Interesting. Do you have a outline of, well, here's what I know I'm going to talk about on each one? I'm thinking of trying to fill up 2 to 3 minutes of airtime about the combination padlock. It's like, there's only so much I could say.
That is an acquired skill. Your ability to just BS your way through talking about something, it gets better over time. And I say BS, I'm not fully making stuff up, but it's just like, how do I figure out how to talk about these vitamins on the fly without reading a bunch about them? And that's sort of a skill that you will hone and get better at. At the very start, you can use ChatGPT. Just plug in the ACE in, like, hey, ChatGPT, I need to do a 2-minute video about the Goli prebiotics. Give me some talking points. And you can do it that way. If you want to fully script it, you can do it that way. I don't love fully scripting things because it's harder for beginners, because then you'll have to do editing if you make mistakes, things like that. But yeah, if I'm just on the fly, I just kind of talk about it. And again, this actually leads us to another really common beginner mistake. People feel like they need to make this really good and they need to edit out their ums and they need to edit out their mistakes. If I'm talking about these Goli vitamins and I accidentally call them Goli vitamins, I'm going to leave that in and be like, whoops, Goli golly, you get what I'm saying. Anyways, blah, 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 blah. And I will leave all of that in the video. If there's that like 1 second at the start of the video where I press the start button and then I'm showing it, I leave that in the video because it's just not, there's no monetary value in me editing out that little button press at the start. That doesn't make me any more money. And since that's not making me any more money, why am I spending my time to do it? I just don't.
Are you going through kind of the pros, cons, and some of the stuff I imagine you haven't even had the chance to really use and test yourself if we're talking about 10 products every single day? And so it's got to go one level deeper than the marketing bullet points that are on the sales page, though, because it's like that's why somebody's watching the video in the first place.
Sometimes, yeah. There's so many different approaches to this. And because I am often making multiple videos for my like best-selling products, I will do all of the above. So I will do a video that's just a surface level, like, hey, here's what it looks like. Here's what it tastes like. It's great. Thumbs up. Go get yourself some. And then I might do a follow-up video. Hey, this says that it has, I don't know, we'll just come up with Bacillus subtilis D111. It says it has this. Let me show you some research behind this and what they say that this specific thing is actually used for. Because I had to look this up and I didn't know what Bacillus subtilis blah, 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 blah is. So like, I will do a video that goes a little bit deeper.
Okay.
I've got like a little air conditioning unit right here. All right. So video one might be, hey, like I'm unboxing this. Here's what comes in the box. It's starting it up. Here's what all the buttons do. It's pretty good. and then I'll do a second video. All right, let's break down the features here. Here's how to actually use this. Here's what everything does. Then I might do a video three. All right, so this is actually the mistakes that I've made with this and how to avoid them. And so in video four, I might compare this one to a different air conditioner and so on and so on and so on. So you can kind of come at it from so many different angles. There's not like a one size fits all for these things. If I'm, say, going to my neighbor's house, I usually stick to the obvious stuff. Like, here's what it looks like. Here's how big it is. Here's what it feels like. Here's what it smells like. Here's what it tastes like if it's food, because you can make videos for food. Like, all these really simple things on the fly. I will often carry around measuring tape with me. Let's say for clothing, for example. Like, I've done lots of videos for, say, women's dresses. I'm not a woman, and I'm not wearing the dress. So what do? I just put the dress on the table, and I pull out the measuring tape. Like, all right, they say it fits these sizes. Let's pull the measuring tape out. These are the exact dimensions, all right? And I might share, like, okay, this is my wife's dress. She weighs this much. This is her size. But let's pull out the measuring tape. Because that's what people are oftentimes looking for. If they're already on the Amazon listing, it's a little bit different than, say, a TikTok video, where on TikTok, the person is looking, they're trying to watch their cute puppy videos, and I'm interrupting that puppy video to sell them a dress. They don't care about the dress, they want the puppies.
Yeah.
On Amazon, they're already on the dress listing. They already want the dress.
Yeah, it's high intent.
Yeah, they are there to make this purchase. I am there to just confirm with them, yes, you're not crazy, this is a good purchase, and it will fit your needs. And so I don't need to necessarily convince them of something crazy or go way in depth. You can, but that's not like a huge requirement. I'm just there to confirm that this is in fact the product that you're looking for, and you're not crazy for wanting to buy this.
And do you end with that call to action of go click buy now or something?
Yeah, you're not really supposed to do like really hard call to actions at the end of Amazon videos. So I don't have like necessarily a set ending. I usually end with something like, all right, yeah, I've had it. I like it. If you want it, go ahead and grab it. But if not, there's plenty of great options out there. I don't even hard sell people on that, and I'm still making great money.
Okay.
I don't think there's like a perfect, like formulaic type of ending that you need to use.
Do you ever review products that you don't recommend? Well, I mean, it's like, I'm probably not going to make any commission. I'm convincing somebody not to buy this thing.
Yes. And 6 months ago, this was much better to do because you could get related sales. So the example I'll use, I had a fish tank for betta fish that looked really cool, but it was like this waterfall thing. It looked really cool, but each waterfall was like its own little section, and each section was like 2 inches by 4 inches. And the betta fish couldn't actually jump from one section to the next. It's like, this is like a 2 inch by 4 inch. Mm. This is horrible. No fish should live inside of this. And so I made the video, And I kind of sandwiched it. So I start the video, it's like, all right, so this is what it looks like. Here's it all set up. We're going to get the measuring tape. You can see how big it is, or just my hand. Like, here's my hand. It's about 2.5 hands across, one hand high, one hand deep, all this stuff like that. Show it in action. Like, here's the cool waterfall feature. Now, I do want to say, we put a betta fish in here for a little bit. And honestly, I don't recommend this for actual betta fish because it's just too small. They need more space than this. You can see how small these individual things are. I don't really recommend this for betta fish. For us personally, we already bought it, so we actually put house plants in it now. And then I showed some like cuttings of some plants. Like, so this is a different use for it if you have this and still want it. And that video had so many likes. Like, I was the number one video on that listing for like a year because everyone saw that and was like, finally, someone who's being honest with us. They're not just trying to like sell us and hype something up. They're being honest. So my video rose to the top, and I made a lot of money on other fish tanks because as of 6 months ago, we got related sales. If they looked at my video and then bought a different fish tank, Amazon would be like, well, you influenced the purchase, so we'll give it to you. But now, that only works for offsite videos. If I made a YouTube video about that fish tank and people bought a different fish tank, then I would still get the different credit. But for onsite people, they took that away from us in April. So it doesn't work as well. It's still kind of I do still think that there's benefits because I don't know about you, but if I'm trying to buy something, like I was just looking at a memory stick, I will often look at the 1-star reviews to see what do they say. If I'm okay with what those people said is like the worst of the worst experiences, then I will still make my purchase. And so sometimes these like honesty videos do still sell well because the person watching it's like, well, you know what? I'm okay with torturing my betta fish, or maybe I'm not getting this for a betta fish. Like, I'm still okay with that. So I will still, or they think I'm wrong. Ah, betta fish don't need that much space. This guy is making this up. They can disagree with me. So a lot of times people will watch the negatives and still buy it because they disagree.
Got it. Okay. So yeah, I'm just trying to be honest, and we're putting goodwill out into the world. I think that's okay, even if there may not be a monetary incentive. It's got 3,000 videos. Everything is 5 stars. You got to buy it now. It's like, no, that's also not realistic. I was going to ask, I'm on still the Tony Box listing, and it looks like some of the videos have kind of a medium custom thumbnail. A lot of them don't. Like, what's your take on you trying to get people's attention in that carousel and getting to click on yours?
Yeah. I think that nobody knows. I don't even think Amazon knows. I think it's different than YouTube. I think YouTube, there is very clear and definitive data backing up, like, you need a good thumbnail to sort of stand out on YouTube. I think on Amazon, I think a lot of customers are not looking for those high production, high value things. Like, if I'm looking for a Tony box, I don't care what some influencer has to say about it. I want to see what some random mom named Rachel has to say about it. And so I'm going to go click on this video because I just see a person who just, like, oh, they look like me. They look like my wife. They look like someone who actually uses this, who's going to tell me some actual information about it and not someone who's just hyping it up and selling me. So for me, I might not click on that D-Mank person, but I might click on the Abigail one because it looks like that's a person who's using this who likes it. So my personal strategy, it kind of depends on my feelings that day. If I'm just making one video for something, sometimes I will go heavy into the edited thumbnails. There's some thumbnails I'll never do, like the one with the arrow that says, watch before you buy. I'm never going to do that because that's what everybody does. That does not stand out. And it also doesn't make you look like an honest customer. It's kind of the worst of both sides. If I'm going to do a thumbnail, I'm going to like use ChatGPT and say, make this a really nice looking thumbnail that pops. And then it's going to look really nice. Or I'm not going to use any thumbnail at all. And I don't usually try to play in the middle ground. I try to take one of the two extremes. And I will sometimes even do both if I'm making multiple videos, because I want my own videos to stand out from my other videos. So it doesn't just look like the same guy who made 5 videos for the same thing. I want to show people, like, hey, you want the high production value? Click on this one. If you want the person who's just showing you, hey, I just bought this air conditioner, here's how it works down south, it's hot in Florida. If you want that kind of video, click on that.
Okay. Yeah, one of the tips that I got early on was like, include your hand in the thumbnail, maybe for a sense of scale or for like a sense of personal touch. I don't know, but I've gone back and forth with some of these.
Yeah, I can see it. I think some of the advice is advice for the sake of giving advice.
It's all anecdotal, right? You gotta just put some stuff out there and see what works for you.
Yeah.
Are you syndicating these videos to YouTube? I imagine it'd be a pretty big review channel at this point.
Yeah, so we use a tool. It's called Cha-Ching, which is so much better than anything else on the market. There's lots of tools that I use, but for cross-posting, nothing is anywhere close to what this does because it just works in the background. I've set up my account, and it will, in the background, like literally on this call, my laptop is running right now, and it's downloading my videos from Amazon, adding descriptions, adding titles, changing thumbnails, all that stuff, adding my offsite affiliate links, and then uploading them on my behalf to YouTube, all hands off. So I let this run, and it usually runs like 10 to 20 videos per day because I have a lot of videos. And so I'm uploading 10 to 20 videos over to YouTube every single day just by automatically cross-posting.
Do you see that has become a significant revenue stream?
It's become a bit. And again, it kind of depends on your style. If you're doing these long form, high edits, like you spent a bunch of research and then you made an 8-minute long video, you're going to make a lot more money on YouTube than someone like me who's running around their neighbor's house and filming 2-minute videos of random high chairs and things like that. So for me, I'll see about a 5 to 10% income boost per month from offsite posting to like YouTube. So not huge. It's not nothing. It's definitely worth automating since I can use an automated thing to just do this for me. But it's not a large bump. And this is including like YouTube ad revenue. This is including like brand deals that you get from YouTube because of this and all that. It's for most people, it's not going to be a large source of your income unless you focus on it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, there would be, I'm thinking more longer form, more highly produced, like that. If somebody's looking for that product on YouTube specifically, that's kind of what they're expecting versus somebody scrolling the actual Amazon listing page, like hovering over the buy button and ready to go. The last thing I had on the video production side was any title best practices that you found. Again, on this Tony box, it's kind of a variety. We love the Tony box too. You have to see what this thing can do. Review Tony box audio player starter set. Tony box 2 worth the hype, all caps. What have you found here?
Yeah, This is a little anecdotal. Some friends of ours have tried to pull together a bunch of data, but even the data is, it's hard to truly quantify and qualitate the data into like this causes that, because there's just so many things that can affect it. I will do a few things. So I'll usually try to do like one word that's in all caps, just so like there's something that kind of catches people's eye. But then again, like if I'm doing multiple videos for something, I just try to change my video titles. So I don't think there's necessarily one perfect title. I think if you're sitting there for 5 minutes trying to think of a perfect title, you've lost. You've overthunk this. Stop overthinking it and just put something in there. Just about every tool will give you like an automatic, like, oh, let's use AI to come up with a good title. That's usually fine. Amazon themselves will give you an AI generated title. And that is usually fine 90% of the time.
Okay.
I might change a little bit here or there. Most of those videos look a little bit older. That Tony audio player, great for kids. That was probably generated by AI because the first letter of everything is capitalized except for four. And that's like very specifically grammatically correct for this, but it's not how people would actually type.
That one appeals to me because the random spacing and formatting and like double exclamation, some of this stuff, like it makes my proofreading brain hurt a little bit. One thing that does stand out, Christie reviews, like this apostrophe bothers me, but this green check mark, it looks like a verified check mark on. So I think that's kind of a cool little play that they've added to their just username, I assume.
Yep. Yeah. Some people will add that. It's all, we're all just kind of trying to stand out. And so if everyone starts adding checkboxes, then don't add a checkbox and then you'll stand out. If everyone's doing this, then don't do that and then you'll stand out. So we're always kind of adjusting. I've had symbols like the checkbox in my account before. I've taken them out. I've put them back in. I've taken them out. Like we've done everything. I enjoy the experimentation of it. I don't think it will ever be a solved equation. It's something that you can kind of always tinker with and play with a little bit. And I have fun with that.
That's fair. Talk to me about finding products to review, because it doesn't take long before you exhaust your Amazon order history, you exhaust what is available in your house, and you've got some really creative ways that you've found some tons of products to make videos for.
Yeah, I would say the biggest roadblock that people get is the analysis paralysis, and then they just quit. The second biggest hurdle is this: I ran out of stuff to film, now what do I film? And I get it. But I almost always just push back on people initially, like, no, you haven't. So like, Nick, you said, how many videos did you have again?
I think 60.
Okay. I can see about 40 things in this image of you that you could take a video. You can take a video of the flower pot behind you. You can take a video of your snake plant. There's at least 10 books on your shelf that you could take a video of. The shelf itself, you could take a video of. Those closet doors probably have some hardware because it's like the folding doors. So you could take a video for that closet door hardware. The shirt that you're wearing, the microphone in your picture.
I could step to the side. There's more stuff back here.
The purple light. There's more books down there. Like all of that stuff you can do videos for. Now, they're like, okay, should you go through your child's bookshelf and record every single children's book? Probably not. That's probably not really going to make you a whole lot of money. I think there's just so much more than people initially think. When I ask people like, oh, have you filmed your bathroom? It's like, oh, what's in, like, yeah, I filmed my makeup. Like, no. Have you filmed your bathroom? Have you filmed every single sink? Have you filmed your toilet? Have you filmed your toilet seat? Have you filmed the little flange replacement thing? Because like every toilet uses these same parts. It's all the same. Have you filmed that yet? How about the grout that goes around your toilet so that you don't leak your toilet nasty stuff onto your floor? Have you filmed that yet? Like there's so much in your house that is a product on Amazon. You just don't think about it because I'm no longer holding the bottle of grout. Like I already used it around my toilet. It's already there. But oftentimes that's even better because if I'm buying grout, I don't care what it looks like in the bottle. Show me the toilet. Show me that it's still there 3 years later. So yeah, I think there's way more. I think that every house in America has 500 to 1,000 videos that you can do without breaking a sweat. There's just so much more.
If you're serious about getting started with the Influencer Program, make sure to grab the free quick start guide I put together by hitting the link in the episode description, and I'll send that right over. I've got more with Nate in just a moment, including how to figure out what products you've actually got, if that box is long gone, and more creative ways he finds stuff to film, coming up right after this.
Big parenting milestone for us this month. I finally set up investing accounts for the kids. It had been on the to-do list for a while, but it was a chance to talk about the power of compound interest and making money without working for it directly. I think what was most exciting for them was the concept of owning a small piece of a ton of different businesses, and that a lot of the traffic on the road is people going to work for those companies, doing their small part to make them a little bit richer. We also offered a very generous parental match to incentivize them to continue to fund their accounts. But this brings me to my favorite financial tool, Monarch. It's the easy-to-use financial dashboard to track your spending, savings, investments, and more all in one place. I love the net worth tracker and especially zooming out 6, 12, 24 months and seeing how much progress we've made. I want to invite you to write your own money story with Monarch. Use code SIDEHUSTLE at monarch.com to get your first year of Monarch Core half off at just $50. That's 50% off your first year at monarch.com with code SIDEHUSTLE. You know, when you're working for a company and payday just automatically happens every couple weeks? Simple, reliable, easy. But now flip it. You're the boss. It's your business and you need to pay yourself and your team. That's where our partner Gusto comes in. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all in one, remote friendly, and incredibly easy to use. So you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. I've been on an automation kick this year, so Gusto's automatic payroll tax filing is right up my alley. Plus, you can set up simple direct deposits, health benefits, 401ks, you name it, Gusto makes it easy and affordable. There's no hidden fees, no surprises, and it's no wonder why 500,000 small businesses already trust Gusto for their payroll and HR needs. I want to invite you to try Gusto today at gusto.com/sidehustle and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/sidehustle. One more time, it's Gusto, GUSTO.com/sidehustle.
And do you have tools, like if you have no idea what this thing is, like, okay, maybe the closet door hardware. It was like that when I moved in. It's like an AI reverse image, like Amazon. What product is this? Find me something that's close and we'll say that's what it is.
The best visual matcher tool is still Amazon itself. Okay. If you open up your shopping app, there's like the bar at the top where you can type something in, but there's a little picture of a camera in that bar. That is still the best visual matcher in existence.
Okay. To be able to say, well, I can make a video of it, but then I got to match it to the product.
Yeah. And never make a video first. Like, always have a product that you're making the video for. That's a mistake I've seen people make. But
okay.
I do use a tool. It's called Multi-Influencer Pro, which is then able to picture scan stuff and tell me, do these things have creator connections campaigns? So like if I'm, say, renting an Airbnb and I've only got 4 hours to film or 3 hours, or whatever it is, I can't film every doorknob and every piece of hardware and whatever. I need to sort of prioritize stuff. So I'll use that to do some visual scans. It's not quite as powerful and robust as the Amazon image scanner, but what it lacks in that, it makes up for in, it will show me these creator connections campaigns. And we haven't talked about that yet, just briefly for the people unaware. For the influencer program, I get paid by Amazon. It'll be like 1 or 2%. If I sell a doorknob, I'll make 1 or 2% on that commission from Amazon. But if there is a creator connection, which is made by the brand that sells that doorknob handle, the creator connection campaign will pay me anywhere from 10 to 50%. So if there's like a 50% campaign on doorknobs, this brand's like, yeah, we're trying to be number one on Amazon. We're pushing our stuff. I'll get paid my 1% from Amazon. And then I will also get paid 50% from the brand through creator connection. And so that's become a huge part of our business, is trying to find things that have creator connections on them.
Okay, that is a way to earn more from the same effort, basically. If I'm going to make this video, all else being equal, I want to make it about the one that has a 10% commission versus a 2% commission.
Yes.
And sometimes, we did an episode with Jared from Niche Pursuits earlier, and he was almost exclusively focused on creator connections products, and he had this whole outreach script and research process, like, oh, this one has good sales velocity and low competition, so I'm going to outreach, they're going to send me this product, I'm going to review the thing, and you're getting product for free. It sounded smart, but it also sounded like high effort.
Yeah, that is a way to scale, and it doesn't have to be super high effort, because there's lots of ways to automate the messaging and things like that. Again, like the tool that I was saying for scanning, I'm able to send infinite messages through an automation. So like if I want to message 2,000 brands a day and say, hey, we saw your thing on Creator Connections, send it to us, we'll make a video. I'm able to do that. And I will usually get about a 10% response rate. So if I send 2,000 messages out, I'm going to be getting about 200 things roughly 7 days from now to my doorstep for free. So that is a way to scale. It does come with some fallbacks. So one, you can look up all the data in the world. I'm like, oh, this is great. It's selling really well. There's low competition. The problem is everyone else sees that same data. and everyone else is going to be requesting the same things. If I put into my automation, and everyone's using these automations now,
yeah.
If I put in my automation, look for things that are selling 500 units a month with zero influencers and a 20% creator connections campaign or higher. Okay, great. I found that. And then I get it for free. Well, so did 10 other people the same week. And so right today, it's great. 2 weeks from now, not so great. So it is a way to scale. It's just getting a bunch of free stuff. It's the easiest thing to talk about on social media. It's the easiest thing to like post on Instagram, like, hey, look at these 200 packages that just arrived to my doorstep for free. So it's very like exciting looking. And I think that generates a lot of hype. But for people that are like building large scale actual businesses from this, I think there's a lot of drawbacks. One, the thing with like a lot of other people are also doing the same thing. If they're sending me a free sample, they're probably willing to send you a free sample and 10 other people a free sample.
Yeah.
You also run into issues like production time is significantly slower because you think, okay, it's not just a product. I have to go to my front door and it's in a box. I have to take it out of the box. I have to re-find what this product is, match it back up, put it in my space, do something with that box. Am I breaking this box down? Am I shredding it? Am I taking it out to the garbage? If you're getting 200 packages a day, that is more, it's called like dunnage, the stuff that goes inside of boxes.
Yeah.
That's more dunnage than you will be able to put in your regular municipal trash. Mm-hmm. You have to find a solution for this. And that's all of that just adds into the time. So do I get free samples? Yeah, I got a couple free samples today. Is that like a huge part of my business? Not really.
Yeah. And so this would be on site as well. So if I got this watch strap for Apple Watch, 25% commission. So if I got this and made a video about it, whether I just bought it or requested it for free, I still wouldn't have to drive my own traffic. They would just pay me instead of 2% or whatever for electronics, they would pay me 25%.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So you would just accept that and then send them a message, say, hey, I'm interested in filming this. Here's a little bit about me. If you want to send us a unit, send us a unit.
Okay.
Real quick, for the people who are in Creator Connections wondering, all of Creator Connections will say they do not send a sample. That's just automatically put in there by Amazon. But you ignore that because it's not true. It's just an old antiquated sentence from Amazon that brands can't change. So request anything you want and about 10% are going to reach back to you and say, okay, great.
One of the things that we did was we filmed some of the kids' larger Lego sets a few years ago, and then we would give them some of the commissions when those sold. And that was a lot of fun. And they would be like, oh, can we check the sales report like every month? It was like, hey, we made $20. And so it was like, cool. I was like, time out. You just made passive income on the internet. You're 8 years old. You don't understand how cool this is.
For sure.
I think you went out and found this other families with big Lego collections nearby. Can I give you a little bit of money and I'll come and film your collection?
Exactly. We did the same thing as you. So we started with our kids, like, hey, let's film your Lego sets. Cool. Oh, they're starting to sell. And me thinking, how can I scale this? Thinks, how can I get access to lots more Lego sets? Let me go on Facebook. And I went on, and I still have some here. I just had a stack of Starbucks gift cards. I went to Starbucks and I got like 20, $20 gift card things. And then I posted on the neighborhood like, hey, who has the biggest Lego collection? I want to film some videos for Amazon showing off Lego sets. And I just need access to Lego sets. So if you think you've got the biggest collection, let me know. I'll come to your house. I'll give you $20 of Starbucks money if you let me film at your house for an afternoon. And there was like 30 people in my neighborhood pages like, I've got the biggest set. Come over to my house. Blah, blah, blah. And I went to a couple of these houses. And I mean, I kid you not. These people have entire like basements, wall to wall to wall. We're talking like a 20 by 20 foot room with shelving all through the middle. And every shelf is full. I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm never going to be able to complete all this. But yeah, I went to their house for like 8 hours. I was there for probably initially 3 hours, told them, hey, this is so many sets, but I would love to come back. I'll give you another Starbucks gift card. Can I come back next weekend? Yeah, sure. Went back the next weekend, finished all the rest. I mean, hundreds of these Lego sets that I filmed. And this is just sort of part of that creative process because again, kind of goes back to like, I just don't like doing what other people say. When everyone says like, oh yeah, the way to do this is get a bunch of free samples. Like, well, okay, that kind of works. I can do that. Or I can go to my neighbors and ask them if they have Lego sets that I can just film. Or I've asked neighbors like for exercise equipment, I might do an exercise comparison video and be like, hey, I have this treadmill. Does anyone have this other kind of branded treadmill? Someone would be like, yeah. So, hey, can I come over to your house and I'll bring over a Starbucks. I just need to film like a 5-minute video of it and I'm going to compare it to mine and sort of show them. And then that would be one of the few videos that I would edit. And okay. So I show my treadmill for 2 or 3 minutes. Here's all these features. I show their treadmill for 2 or 3 minutes. Here's all of those features. And then I sort of break out to the, sort of the talking head. All right, so here are the differences between these two treadmills. This one has XYZ feature that this one lacks. That one has ZYA features that this one lacks. Yeah. Get whichever one you think is best. And so that's sort of some of those other creative ways. We've gone to friends' houses to film everything. Like, we're close with our neighbors. So when they went on vacation, I said, hey, I'll house sit for you if you just let me like film the stuff in your house. And they're like, yeah, of course. We don't care at all. So literally, like, I spent an entire week at the neighbor's house. Every pot and pan that they had, all their kids' toys, all their little tech gadgets, their computers, their webcams, their home alarm systems, like everything that they had, even like the food in their pantry I was filming. And I've made good money from all that stuff.
Yeah. It's like seeing the world through a product lens.
Yeah. I went to an Amazon seller conference a while back, and I went with a couple friends. And this is when I was sort of transitioning into being the influencer. And all during the conference, like, my head is on a swivel. I'm recording the speaker system. I'm recording the lights. I'm recording. They were giving out these little, like, individual tea things. Like, you would put this little, like, pyramid into your cup and it would make tea. And I scanned it and it existed on Amazon. It's like, sweet. Let me film this real fast. All right. I'm at a conference and they're giving these tea packets and these things are awesome. Look at how you can make this. It's so easy. Put it. And I was showing it, like, literally right there in the conference as I'm recording everything. So, yeah, everywhere I'm going, my head is on a swivel. I'll go on dates with my wife. Like, we'll walk through the downtown farmer's market. And I remember sometimes the thing that the farmer's markets are selling are on Amazon. It's rare, but sometimes they are. But oftentimes their machinery, their stuff is there. So, like, there was one that had a hand washing station where you would, like, pump it with your foot. And there was, like, a big thing of water inside of it. So you pump it with your foot.
Yeah.
And then water would come out and they would wash their hands. I was like, hey, can I take a video of that? And this is a weird request. And they're like, sure, yeah, we don't care. And so I did a video. Here's the hand. Here's how it works. You pump your foot. It's got a nice big reservoir in there. Dude, this is super handy. You can see we're at the farmer's market. Like, this works in a real world scenario.
Yeah, it's probably a high dollar item.
A lot. Like, I think I made over $100 in commissions from that hand washing thing. Because, like, you think, okay, option A, I could buy this, bring it to my house, and make a nice unboxing video where I unbox this hand washer.
Yeah.
Okay. But what do customers want to see? They want to see it at the farmer's market, because who is the client of this? It's people who go to farmer's markets who are trying to have these portable hand washing stations.
Yeah.
So filming it there is the most natural environment possible. That is the most real world scenario. It is currently in use. So, like, some people are like, oh, but you don't own that. How much could you know? Like, it doesn't matter really what I know. Can I show this in a natural environment and show it in use and all that? Now, I'm going to give the caveat that Amazon does specifically say they want these items in their natural environments. They don't want you inside of stores. So don't go to, like, Target or Walmart and just start filming everything off the shelf. That's going to get you kicked off really, really fast, because that is not that product's natural environment.
Okay. It was like, yeah, that's frowned upon.
Yes. And many people, like, that's the next, like, oh, if he goes to farmer's market, I could just go to Walmart. Like, no, don't do that. That's a different beast. That is not the natural environment of a hand washing station. You don't film that in the Walmart shelf.
Okay.
You can, like, rent Airbnbs. I mentioned that earlier. We've gone to model homes. There's a bunch of, we live in Florida. There's a bunch of new neighborhoods going up all around us. Go into the model home and just start, all right, here's the sink. Here's the fancy rain shower head. Here's the security system. Here's the mini split AC system that the office is using. And, like, all of these things are in their natural places where they're actually being used. So those videos do well for us. You can order stuff online, obviously, like, you're buying it yourself. One of our newest favorite ways of getting more videos for products is going to the Amazon discount bin stores. Just about every city has this. If you live in a medium-sized city in America, you're going to have an Amazon bin store if you just Google Maps that for yourself.
Yeah.
And this is where people will buy, like, return pallets from Amazon for pennies on the dollar, and then they'll sell stuff. And usually it's like, okay, on Monday we restock. So Tuesday, everything is $12. And then Wednesday, everything is $10. And then Thursday, everything is $6. And so on. And it just makes its way down. And so you can go there and you can scan stuff with your app and you find something that works well. It's got low influencer count, maybe creator connection, high sales velocity, boom, get it, make a video for it when you get home. And it's just like you bought it online, but you're paying like $2 instead of $20 for it. So your risk is very low.
Yeah. Your break-even point is a lot quicker.
And you can also oftentimes resell that stuff. So it's like, man, even if I don't make money from this, I can make money flipping this on Facebook Marketplace. So it kind of becomes the business within the business. Same thing with selling your free samples. I am 100% convinced that anyone can make a full-time living. We're talking like $40,000-$50,000, like a teacher salary, $40,000-$50,000 a year, just reselling free samples that they request from brands. Like, anyone can do that. You just have to have the time to list all this stuff on Marketplace and eBay and things like that to actually do it. But it's very lucrative just selling samples or selling stuff that you got at a super high discount.
Yeah, we talked to one guy about, he kind of had this triple, maybe it was a quadruple dip strategy where it's like, I'm getting the free thing. Sometimes the brand is even paying me for the review. I'm getting the commissions from the review. I'm putting it on YouTube. So I'm getting YouTube watch time ads plus, you know, offsite commissions. And then I can resell it at the end. And maybe I flip it, or maybe I save up and do a whatnot, you know, live stream to get rid of all this inventory that I've collected. It's such a wild little sub-economy.
Yeah, I did that with air conditioners all summer. We were getting free air conditioners from brands. I was also buying air conditioners, and we were also getting air conditioners from these bin stores. And I'd do the video. I'd do big long form because now I have five that I can compare. So I would go to YouTube, do the big long form comparison, cross post that to Amazon, get my commissions there, get my creator connections commissions from the brands who sent me stuff for free. I'm getting paid by some of these brands on top of that. And then, yes, reselling it. And even if I bought it full price, you can still resell an air conditioner for like 95% MSRP if you're on Facebook Marketplace.
Okay. Do you have a story where one or two of the videos popped off and made $10,000 or something? Like, do you have any outsized success stories you can think of?
My pop-off videos are less frequent than others. And I think that this wraps back into my general strategy where, for the most part, I'm not doing these really in-depth long-form videos. I feel like most people who have those pop-up videos, they'll make, say, like I've made 3,000, maybe they've made 1,000 videos or 500 videos, and then like five of those are making them 80% of their profits. For me, that's kind of like high risk, because as soon as they're out of the carousel or as soon as something changes, then all that effort they made into that long-form video is gone and it's not really performing. And I try to think like, okay, if I can, let's say me and you are competing on something and you're like, oh, I'm going to do some editing on this. I'm going to spend some time on it. Maybe you spend 30 minutes making your video and it's not even like too crazy, but you spend 30 minutes from start to finish. And I spend 5 minutes from start to finish. Well, that means that I can actually make six videos in the same amount of time that you made your one. And is your one video performing 600% better than one of my videos? Or are all of my videos, like yours is probably performing somewhat better, maybe 20%, 50%, maybe 100% better, but probably not 600% better because I'm making six videos in the same amount of time you made one. Do I have a couple outliers? Yeah, absolutely. And some of those are the long form videos. And usually these are things that I bought. So like we have a shed out back. I did a nice long form video with that. Me and my kid built it together. I've got at the time he was six. So I recorded the video like, hey, can you build this with a 6-year-old? Here's the pros, here's the cons. I'm going to show you all the instructions. And it's like a 12-minute video. And I did a time lapse through the whole thing. It took me like 6 hours to build this thing because he kept unbuilding it in front of me. But I recorded the whole thing and time lapsed it. And I'd have stuff like, oh, here's what you should do. And here's my 6-year-old being unhelpful and don't do that. And that one performed quite well. I made a couple $1,000s from that. But I think on average, most of my videos are good solid base hits rather than having like a couple home runs that carry everything. Maybe 30% of my videos are making me like 70% of my profits instead of 5% of my videos making 90% of my profits that I feel like a lot of people are in.
Okay. Yeah. Aiming for consistency, volume, base hits versus high production, unless you just, you know, you kind of have that YouTube gene and you really want to make a high production quality type of thing. And we found, or you found, that there is some element of recency in the algorithm, or even if the carousel is full, there's already five or six videos up there. Adding a new one to the mix, like don't be discouraged by that. But if you can add something new to the mix, all of a sudden it's like, well, here's the recent review, and maybe Amazon wants to show that and test it out.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, if I see five or six videos, that is not a full carousel. That is easy competition. Tonybox listing pulled up. Okay, that probably has like 4,000 influencers on it. That one. Will I film it? As a beginner, I did because that was good practice. Will I film it now? Probably not, because it's like, what's the point? Even if I make it into the carousel, I'm not staying up there. I'm going to get kicked out soon. So it's probably not really worth my time.
And this is Multi-Influencer Pro is kind of telling you?
Yeah, that's the tool that I use for everything. It does everything. I've tried all of the tools out there. There are other popular tools. There's things like Viral View, things like Oink, things like Fluencer Fruit. I prefer Multi-Influencer Pro. It does everything that all those other people do. Plus, it has that app, which none of the others do. Okay. And that's what I appreciate about it. But that shows me how many influencers. So I can see if I scan the Tony box, okay, does this have like 10 influencers or 10,000 influencers? If it's 10,000, I'm probably skipping it to do something else.
Yeah. What's surprised you the most along the way?
I think it's just how lucrative for how simple of a thing this is. You have to put in effort, but I am not like a professional YouTube review person who has all this equipment and stuff. Like, I've built my stuff out over the years, but for someone who just runs around their neighbor's house with their phones, like, hey, can I take a video of all your Legos? The fact that I can make $20,000 a month literally doing that is bonkers to me. I'm getting most of my family members are getting into this now. I'm trying to get all my neighbors into it.
Do you find that it stacks month after month, or is there kind of like a decay? Like, that's what I've found. Like, some of these videos kind of fall off over the course of years.
Yeah. So your direct question, yes, there is sort of a decay. I am happy. My results are actually significantly higher than this, but I'm happy if I make $1 per month per video. So if I'm running around a house and it takes me, let's say, 10 minutes to make a video, which would be a very long time. All right, I've got my mason jar cup. I scan it. That's 10 seconds. I film a video for it. That's maybe 2 minutes. I think of a title and maybe take a thumbnail, like, okay, maybe that's another minute right there. And then I post it, and maybe my internet is slow and there's another couple minutes. So it's like maybe 10 minutes. Okay, well, that means I can make 6 of these per hour. You can make so much money in such a short amount of time if you are just happy with $1 per month per video. And that is lower than the average people. When we've polled people, the average sort of beginner to mid-level person is usually making about $1.50 to $2.50 per video per month. Plenty of your videos are going to make $0 a month. A couple of them will make maybe $10 a month. A few of them will make maybe $100 a month. And that's sort of the nature of the beast.
Yeah. That was kind of the question. Well, you can keep feeding it and keep giving yourself a raise every month, adding that dollar per month per thing with some fall off, or you can kind of let it ride. We're thinking, in contrast to, again, the Facebook content monetization program, like, you got to post 10 times a day, every day, and it's social media. So once it's done, it's done. And it's like 24 hours may be over. And this, it's got a much longer shelf life to kind of ride out after you produce each one.
Yeah. Everyone I've talked to about this, where they're like, my sales are going down. I used to make 1,000 a month, and now I'm only making 100 a month. It's like, okay, well, what have you done in the last year? Well, nothing. I haven't posted any videos. You're telling me you made $100 this month and you haven't gone to your job in over a year? Like, are you kidding me? That's incredible. And when you break down the time, so like you said, you had 60 videos. When you start thinking about, like, how much time did I invest into those 60 videos? What did they pay me back then? Obviously, it was a lot more, and then a little bit less, and a little bit less, a little bit. And right now, you're not making much, but it's still some. When you combine all of that, and you divide that by however many hours it took you to make your however many videos it was, like, what's your hourly wage? It's probably really stinking high. And so for me, that's always like you should get back into this. Yes, the program's not as easy as it used to be, but no one should expect to be making 10 grand a month for doing zero work. That's not how life works.
All right. Well, Nate, you've got me fired up to go film some more videos, re-energized for the influencer program. And I know a lot of listeners will be as well. What's next for you? Where do you want to take this thing?
I feel like this is a gold rush right now. With AI coming up, like, man, in 10 years, I don't even know if doctors and pilots will exist in 10 years. Like, I have no idea what the world is going to look like and who all is going to be replaced. So for me right now, let me make as much money as I possibly can in as short amount of time as I can. So for me and my business, it's pedal to the metal. Let's see if we can do 30 grand. Let's see if we can do 40. With Q4 coming up around the corner, I'm pretty confident that we can hit 40 to 50,000 in a month. I know people who are doing like 50 to 70 a month right now.
Wow.
So I know the potential is there. And these are your average people. It's not like some famous YouTuber or anything like that. These are normal everyday people like you and me.
Yeah.
Who are just posting a bunch of videos on site. So I know that the potential is there. I know it's possible. So if I can get there, awesome. I'm trying to sort of add some safety nets in place. Like, okay, well, if Amazon, let's say, shuts me down, I would like to have a YouTube going where I can get some affiliate money from there. I've been doing some coaching with people. So now I'm just helping to teach other people how to do this. So that's sort of adding a little safety net. I don't ever want that to replace what I'm currently doing, but I would like sort of a baseline, like, okay, if everything hits the fan, I can still pay my mortgage. Because when you have those safety nets, that's when you can just go crazy, go to the moon, and really see how far you can take a side hustle like this.
Yeah, absolutely. Get while the getting is good. And it sounds like it has been very good to you. Nate, this has been awesome. The Amazon Influencer Hub is a school community that Nate has started. You can also find him at the Hustle Buddies group on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/hustlebuddies. We will link all of that up in the show notes for this episode. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Man, guys, doesn't matter what kind of side hustle you're trying to do, stop overthinking it. Stop listening to all the noise. Turn off all the extra stuff. A lot of times you get analysis paralysis because you just get all these ideas and then you don't actually do anything. So just start doing something. If it's the influencer program, just start making your videos. Stop trying to learn how to make a perfect video. Don't learn how to make a perfect title. That stuff will come with practice. Just go out there and do it. If it's a different side hustle, same thing. Just do the Nike version. Just do it.
Just do it. Stop overthinking it. The 2020 number one tip for the sake of a trip down memory lane was take 100% responsibility, something I still like and resonate with. We're trying to instill that in the kids a little bit more than maybe they would like, but very good number one tips through the years there. If you want to download the Amazon Influencer Quick Start Guide that I put together as kind of an outline from Nate's tips in this call, you can download that at the show notes for this episode. That's your free listener bonus. Just hit the link in the episode description and it'll get you right over there. Big thanks to Nate for sharing his insight. Thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. You can hit up sidehustlenation.com/deals for all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share it with a friend. Fire off that text message. Let them know, hey, you got to check this out. You won't believe the way this guy is making money. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.